Okay, we're on.
Good morning, I'm Dave Kenton, and I'd like to call the meeting of the Sussex County Personnel Board Advisory Committee to order at this time. The first order of business would be to approve the agenda, which we have a copy of. I hope you do.
Motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. The second order of business is to approve the minutes as published. We all have a copy of the minutes of the last meeting, and I've reviewed mine. Is there a motion to approve the minutes as distributed?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion's carried. I'd like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Rutt.
You had the wrong partner.
Yeah. So, Everett Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're going to continue on with the process for the hearing before the Personnel Board. At the last meeting, I did read the rules of procedure. I feel that there's probably no reason to read those again unless the parties desire me to do so. And the only thing I would point out to members of the public that you're to remain respectful and quiet at all times. And if you do have cell phones or other telephonic devices with you, if you'd please turn those off. And Ms. Murray, you were in the process of presenting your case.
Good morning. I'm going to begin by calling Christopher Malik.
M-A-L-E-C.
Please state your full name for the record.
Christopher Lawrence Malik.
Okay, and what is your address?
13706 Wilson Hill Road, Georgetown, Delaware.
And your occupation?
Right now, construction.
Okay. Are you a certified mechanic?
No, I am not at this present time.
Were you a certified mechanic?
Yes, ma'am.
How do you know Deputy Torres?
He's a brother in Christ. We attend the same church, do a lot of family things together. We're friends beyond the, you know, the church and so forth. Softball.
When Deputy Torres brought his vehicle to your house, what was he complaining of?
A loud whining noise. We thought to be the alternator. You could hear the vehicle coming from few hundred feet away before he even approached the house. Sound like a small jet airplane as it approached.
What did you do?
Diagnosed it, opened the hood. You could hear it screaming, whining. Battery light was on. Common sense tells you there's something wrong in the charging system. I had plugged my scanner in to diagnose it and determined that there was definitely a problem with the alternator.
Did you fix the alternator?
Absolutely not.
Did you work on the vehicle at all?
Absolutely not.
Do you know if the alternator was changed?
Absolutely, yes.
How do you know it was changed?
Well, I used to own a business roughly about 20 years ago, and one of the key components to making sure parts got changed was marking the particular part in question. So I had told Mr. Torres that in my concern, just to put a mark somewhere on an alternator, and when he brings it to his shop, he'll know whether or not they changed that alternator.
Okay. I have no further questions at this point.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Barry Willoughby. I represent the county in this matter. Thanks for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Now, the address on Wilson Hill Road, that's the one that you're aware of that Deputy Torres was tracked to by the GPS, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And did the sheriff ask you to look at Deputy Torres's vehicle for him?
No, he did not.
So, according to the GPS records, Mr. Torres came to your home 8 times. Is Does that sound, in a two-month period, does that sound about right?
I'm really not aware of that because I don't have a set schedule. Okay, so well, there's times when I'm actually not at the residence.
Well, do you recall him coming multiple times?
Twice to my recollection.
You only remember two times?
To my recollection, yes.
Okay. Now, your friends outside of your church, you said?
Correct.
And you socialize as families?
Correct.
In the times that Mr. Torres came to your home, did you socialize with him?
Was more pertaining to the vehicle.
Mm-hmm. So did he tell you why he was bringing the vehicle to you instead of the county automobile maintenance department?
Well, he didn't make a special trip. He was en route to do whatever he does for a living and happened to stop by.
Okay, so he didn't make a special trip over. He came by whatever many times the GPS showed to have you look at the vehicle.
Yeah, I had asked him in the past that, you know, on his route, if he could catch me, that would be good. Between doctor's appointments and estimates and everything else I do, I don't have a set schedule.
And the two times that you recall him being there, how long was he there?
Probably a total time, both times, possibly upwards of an hour, but between both times.
Well, let's break it down per time. Each time was how long?
The one time that I had looked at the vehicle was probably between 30 to 40 minutes.
And do you have any notes or records of when that was?
Not on me, no.
Okay. And you're not a certified mechanic now, correct?
No. Okay. I let my certification lapse.
Right. So you can't work on vehicles for a living. That would be illegal, correct?
No, correct? Incorrect.
It would not be illegal, but it would be inappropriate for you to work on a vehicle for pay without a license?
In regards to who?
To the public. Could you offer your services to the public?
I don't offer services to public, family and friends only.
Okay. So you do this for family and friends only.
Absolutely.
And you said he was with you for 30 to 40 minutes the first time?
Correct.
And how long the second time?
Probably about 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Now you said you attached something to the vehicle?
Say again?
Did you tell me you opened the hood?
Yes, correct.
And did you say you attached something to the engine?
Yes, a scanner into the OBD2 port, which is a standard. Procedure. Even if you took your vehicle to AutoZone, that's what they would do.
So you did attach equipment to the vehicle?
Yes.
And you touched the vehicle?
Obviously, I opened the hood. I would have to, yes.
Okay. Were you aware that Deputy Torres said in a letter to the county that you never touched his vehicle?
No, I was not.
So that's not true. You did touch the vehicle. You attached a scanner to it?
Correct.
Okay. Now, an alternator, that charges the battery up, right?
Correct.
So if the alternator is not working, then the battery will not charge, correct?
If the alternator is totally bad, yes, it would not charge the battery.
All right. So, and if Deputy Torres had to jumpstart the vehicle in the morning, that would suggest the alternator was bad, according to him?
Not necessarily.
What would it suggest then?
Well, I mean, it could be multiple, quite a few different things. I mean, it could be a bad cell in a battery. It could be the alternator with all the different electronics plugged into it. A stock alternator is not made to have all the attachments that these vehicles have.
Okay.
You have to put an oversized amperage alternator into the vehicle for it to charge and run correctly.
So these vehicles, to your knowledge, have a lot of other equipment on them as well?
Yes.
And that would run the battery down even more if the alternator were not working, correct?
If the alternator was totally bad, yes, 100%. It could still be charging and making that noise.
Now, did you...
I'm
sorry.
Amperage.
I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead. I interrupted you. I didn't hear the rest of your answer.
It could still be working, but not to the fullest potential. Instead of putting out 14-plus volts, it could be putting out, you know, 12.5, barely keeping the battery charged.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you say in your testimony that the alternator was changed?
Yes.
Okay, and do you know when it was changed?
Not an exact date, no, I do not.
Do you have a month for when these meetings occurred with you and Deputy Torres?
Back in April, I'd say May.
April or May?
Yes.
Okay. And you say you know the alternator was changed because there was a mark put on the alternator?
I had told Mr. Torres to mark the alternator to make sure that it's changed.
Okay. So you told him to put a mark on the alternator.
Correct.
And then what? Take it to the county automobile repair shop to make sure it was changed?
Correct.
Okay. And then you're saying you looked at it afterwards and the alternator was changed?
Correct. And they had said that they only changed the belt, which... A belt wouldn't stop a squealing, whining noise.
Okay, well, are you saying that when you looked at the vehicle the second time, the mark wasn't there, so the alternator was itself changed as well?
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. And you had no direct contact with the automobile folks at the county, correct?
Say again?
You had no direct contact with the automobile folks at the county?
No.
Everything you know is what Deputy Torres told you?
Correct.
Did you ever discuss with Sheriff Christopher the reasons that Mr. Torres came to your home?
No.
He never called you to ask you what Deputy Torres was doing there?
No.
He didn't tell you that the GPS report showed that he'd been there 8 times in 2 months and ask you why that was?
No.
Thank you.
Ms. Murray, do you have a redirect?
You testified that you attached a scanner
Correct.
To the vehicle.
Correct.
Purpose for attaching that scanner is diagnosis only.
Correct.
You did not work on the vehicle.
Absolutely not. It's the same procedure that any of the public or anybody can drive to AutoZone. It's a port, an onboard diagnostic port that all the vehicles have today, and they just plug in. It does no physical damage, no harm. It programs your scanner and tells you what's wrong with the vehicle. That is it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Would you like your excuse?
Okay.
Excuse me. Does any of the board members have a question?
No.
I'm sorry. You're excused.
Thank you.
And Ms. Murray, do you have another witness?
I do. At this point, I'm calling Deputy Torres.
You swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please state your full name for the record.
Ishmael Torres, Jr.
I would like you to explain a typical morning as a deputy.
Well, first, excuse me, I start my day off, get ready to go to work. I then go outside, start my car. A lot of times I've had to jump my car because the battery was dead and it wouldn't start. Once the car started, I boot up my system, which is the computer, my radio. What I mean by radio is the radio I can communicate with 911, SUSCOM, and so on. I start the agenda, which I mean I look through the pack of paperwork for the day, and I start mapping out my day.
Do you make phone calls in the morning?
I check my cell phone that is provided through me by the county, because a lot of times the day prior, I leave my card, and a lot of times there are messages from people trying to get back with me, reference me attempting to make contact with them.
Is it typical for you to leave your vehicle running all day?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, as we all know, even with the state police, they have a lot of equipment in those vehicles. Those vehicles are running constantly from the radio to the computer. And it's not unusual for a law enforcement officer to have their vehicle running due to those circumstances.
Is there a safety concern?
Absolutely. I have found myself in bad areas in Sussex County, believe it or not, where if for some reason I have to pull back or take off, I want to be able that all I have to do is hit the shifter and go and not worry about my vehicle not starting.
Did you have a circumstance where your vehicle didn't start?
Yeah, going back in, believe in February, it's been so long, the very first vehicle which I was assigned to, it's an older vehicle, had a lot of transmission problem. I was just outside of Bridgeville on 404, served my last document, and the transmission gave out on me. It wouldn't go backwards. The person which I served asked me if there was a problem. I told him my vehicle pretty much clunked, and she actually helped me push the vehicle out of the driveway, which allowed me to go forward then, and I parked it along the side of the road and waited for a tow for about hour to hour, 15 minutes.
In your time with the sheriff's office, how many cars did you drive?
Three vehicles. There was a lot of swapping back and forth with vehicles due to either deputies not having enough vehicles, too many deputies for the amount of vehicles we had, or the vehicles not working properly or needed repair, so on, so on.
In the two-month period of February 27th to April 27th, did you drive more than one vehicle?
Yes.
Do you know the days?
You're picking my brain now. I can't come up.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about record keeping.
Right.
What is the purpose of your daily log?
Well, when I was FTO.
Go ahead. And what's FTO?
FTO is field training. My Chief Deputy Langweiler, which is my direct supervisor, my lieutenant, he showed me the daily log, which is a record we use to keep a track of who had that document, where that document originated, and who was served. Whether the person actually, you know, the paper state for, or somebody related to, or so on, so on.
Are all stops recorded on your daily log?
Not necessary.
Okay. Can you give me an example of what wouldn't be put on the log?
Well, for example, if I'm going to the bathroom, I don't put on the daily log that I'm going to a bathroom, because this is basically a professional form just to keep a track of the documents that we receive from the court's lawyers, out-of-state documents, and so on. And for that fact is because we have a lot of equipment on. And if we happen to have to use the bathroom, I want to make sure I'm in a secure area where my weapon is going to be at my reach. And that's why a lot of times I don't document, you know, bathroom breaks or so on.
Okay. I want to clarify something about time entries. Take a look in the packet there. I hope you have it, S311. Or SC-311, I'm sorry.
SC-311?
311, yes. It's the daily work log for April 2nd.
Okay.
Are you there?
311, April 2nd, 2012.
All right. Please look. All right, so what does the first time entry say?
Well, it's a F1, which is a family court document.
Okay.
And it's addressed to Candy L. Smith. And it's the time document is 3:39.
Okay. What does the next time entry say?
The next time entry is a A1, which is a criminal summons or a subpoena. And it's Taylor Ruthing, and it says it's originated from Bridgeville, and it's 8:55.
So why would these be out of sequence?
A lot of times when a deputy makes contact with a person earlier that day or late afternoon, we actually document the time we went there. If we all look at the area where it says person served, it says attempt made. That was cross off, not by me, but by somebody in the office, only because later that afternoon, after I made that attempt earlier that morning, I received a phone call from this individual, which contacted me and told me that she's going to be there at about 3-4 o'clock, and I can then return to Bridgeville and serve her then. And that's why it says 3:39.
So you might go to a location multiple times, but only record the last time you were there?
Absolutely.
Okay. question about overtime. Go ahead and flip back. We're going to go start going through the days, but I want to talk to you about overtime first. The county indicated that you have much more overtime than other deputies. And from the chart they provided, it was particularly concentrated in the September-October timeframe of last year. Is there a reason why you had more overtime?
Yes. When I first started with the county, once again, I was field trained by my lieutenant. And then a lot of times, you know, I had to stay extra because we had to go through certain paperwork. And I was pretty much to the mercy of my lieutenant. And what I mean by that is if he had something he had to do relating to the office or admin, I had to tag along because he was field training me. There was a lot of times where I was being the newer guy, I was assigned family court. And the way that works, after we do our daily functions, family court closes at 4:30, which all the paperwork, such as subpoenas, PFAs, custodies, orders, divorce orders, are sent down for us to serve it that evening.
And with the family court, is it, my understanding is that you are assigned an area in your normal day. That's your region.
Correct.
Your family court filings, are they specific to that region or are they a wider range?
My normal region is consists of the town of Bridgeville, the town of Greenwood, the town of Allendale, Milford, and Lincoln. I have five towns that I cover. In a evening family court, you know, serve, I have all Sussex County. That's the whole map. At times, I could be in Bridgeville, just like I can be in Salisbury, in Selbyville, or in Dagsboro. I mean, all over.
Okay. On the first day of testimony, the county had a spreadsheet up on the screen that's SC 529 to 531 that reviewed daily log sheets, GPS reports, and comments. Have you now had an opportunity to review the daily log sheets and GPS reports for the highlighted dates on that spreadsheet?
Yes, for the first time.
Okay, and you have them in front of you, correct? Mm-hmm. That stack is those days, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So let's go through them. Let's start with February 27th.
Okay.
Take a look at the daily log sheet. We're at SC 83. Mrs. Brewington testified that your daily log sheet says you were in Bridgeville at 8 a.m. Is that accurate?
No.
Okay. Why is that not accurate?
Just because the folder says Bridgeville doesn't necessarily mean that I was physically at Bridgeville, and I'll explain why. A lot of times when we get documents at the office, the folder signifies that document is originated from the town, which is documented and noted in that file.
Okay, so looking at this with the location served, what does that say and what does it mean?
Location served. A lot of times if for some reason the person has moved or is in another place, such as place of work, or the person calls me back on a cell phone and say, I'm going to be in this area, that's where the deputies would put where the location was served.
So by looking at this, did you talk to this person? Were you on the phone? If you weren't in Bridgeville, where were you?
Well, that morning, I was going through my voicemail on my phone, and I received a phone call going through. I returned a phone call for the homeowner, which lived at the address where Mr. Summers lived, or used to live. He informed me that the subject, which is Mr. Summers, does not live there no more. So I then documented on my log that he does not live there any longer.
Okay.
But it is originated from Bridgeville, and that's why the document stated that the folder was Bridgeville, because that's where the document comes from.
Let's look at the GPS report that's immediately behind it. I believe I'm at SC-85 at this point. The GPS says you started your car at 9:46 and left at 10:07. According to your daily log, what was your first stop?
My first stop was actually 10:30.
Okay. Looking at the GPS, flip to the next page. It says we're at SC-86. It says, second line down, that you turned your car off at 10:16 and didn't restart it until 12:31. Is that accurate?
Not possible.
Okay. How do you know this?
Because at approximately, and I say approximately, 10:30, I was en route to start my day in Bridgeville after making my phone calls, my contacts. I received a phone call from Chief Anderson from Greenwood PD. He was at a 41 stop, which is a traffic stop, of a Spanish-speaking individual, and he had a language barrier, couldn't communicate. He then contacted me and by conference call via phone and had me explain to the individual what he was trying to accomplish, and I did so. But I had pulled off on the side of the road, if you are familiar with Coverdale Crossroads, the blinking intersection. That's where I was stationary at, and the vehicle was not off.
Okay. Let's look at your daily log. So we're back to SC-83. Jason Sharp, Bridgeville, 11:45.
Correct.
Okay. And when you look at the GPS report at SC-89, it says that you were at 10805 Rifle Range Road at 2:45. Is this accurate?
No.
How do you know?
I had, after clearing with my conversation with Chief Anderson from Greenwood PD, I then made my next stop, which was Ms. Blankship, Janet. But after that, I attempted to make contact with Jason Sharp, which lives off of Rifle Range Road in Bridgeville, and that was at 11:45, not 2:45.
Okay. Your daily log sheet shows an end time of 4 p.m., but the GPS shows an end time of 7:15.
That's correct.
Do you have any idea why?
No.
When you review the addresses that show after 4 o'clock, you know, in the time between 4 o'clock and 7:15, do any of the addresses look familiar to you?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. All right, let's go to February 29th. You there? SC-105 is the number for it. Up in the top left-hand corner, it says that your start time was 8 a.m., but your first time entry is 9 a.m. What would you be doing in that hour?
Well, once again, I start my vehicle. Don't remember if I was one of the days that I had to jump my vehicle, but normally I respond back to the office where I siphon through the new paperwork, whether stuff coming in from the day before from the court run, and normally that's what I do. I map out everything that I can at times when I can at the office.
The daily work log shows that you ended your day at 4 p.m., but the GPS shows your car was turned off at 3:14. Do you have any idea why?
No, I don't.
But your last time entry on the daily work log, read your last time entry on your daily work log.
On my daily work log is miscellaneous office slash administration, vehicle maintenance, equipment in the West Complex building, and it's Georgetown, so 305.
So you were in Georgetown and worked until 4 o'clock?
Correct. Normally, I return back to the office if I have to siphon through stuff, give stuff back to the office, clock stuff in, stating that everything was served. That's normally what I do, is go back.
Okay. Let's go to March 2nd. The daily, what was your start and end time?
Start time is 8, and 10-7 time is 8.
And let's look at the GPS report behind it, so SC-125. Start time?
7:37.
Okay, and end time?
7:37.
And actually, look at SC-133, the very bottom.
Okay.
7:37, what does it say?
Vehicle is on.
And then top of the next page, 7:37.
Vehicle is off.
Okay. Something interesting happened around 3 o'clock on March 2nd, didn't it?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell us what happened?
Normally, in the process of my day, I can come across a lot of stuff. A lot of the guys that I graduated in the academy is considered me a poop magnet, but using very nice terms. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen around me, they said. You know, I remember that day because I was on Oshawnee Road, and is that the incident you're talking about? I have a different page.
Oh, okay.
I don't have that one. Okay.
This is the one where you offered assistance.
Okay, yes. This is one of the other instances. I was traveling eastbound of State Route 18, which is 404, when I come across a motor vehicle accident, heavy damage. The person was still in the vehicle, trapped. I then, as I'm trained to do as a first responders, render aid. I couldn't just go by and let the person, like we were asked to do, just ignore and turn the other face. I couldn't do that. I couldn't live with myself knowing that I can help that individual. I then crossed the path of the vehicle where she was struck to avoid any incoming traffic so I can assess the situation. I right away got on my radio and contacted Sussex and informed them that I was 10-2, which is I'm arrived at the scene of a motor vehicle accident and appears to be PI, which is personal injuries, heavy front and rear damage, and the person was trapped in the vehicle.
This says approximately 1640.
Correct.
Which is in normal time 440, right?
440, correct.
Let's flip to the GPS report, SC-130. Look around 440.
Nowhere to be found.
And also, when you look at the miles per hour, two columns from the right, it appears that you were moving.
Two columns up?
Two columns from the right, the speed.
Yes.
Okay. There's no zero, so that a zero typically would mean you're stopped.
Correct. Okay.
This shows you're moving. So you have an incident report that says you were at a location,
Right.
And this is showing that you're moving.
Right.
Let's go to March 6th. It's not a row that was highlighted, but it is worth mentioning.
March 6th.
You show your end time as 3 p.m. on your daily log.
Correct.
Look at the end time on the GPS. It's just a one-page GPS report.
It says 156.
Okay. And there's a comment that says Airport Road. That comment's not that. I'm sorry, that's on the spreadsheet. I just remember that it said Airport. What is that Airport Road?
I believe, without knowing the correct address, it's the county garage.
Okay, so what does your daily log say around 1 p.m. on March 6th?
What time am I going here?
Around 1 o'clock.
It says miscellaneous sheriff's office, pickup spare vehicle, Sussex County garage, 1 o'clock.
Okay, so you were driving a different vehicle the rest of March 6th?
Correct.
Okay, so March 7th, your daily log says that you started your day at 7 a.m.
Correct.
The spreadsheet and the says that the GPS says 11:39.
That's what it says.
But it says at Airport Road.
Right.
Right. So are we thinking that did you pick up another vehicle at 11:39?
At Airport Road, perhaps, yes.
Okay. Let's go to March 9th. What is your end time on your daily log?
Hold on,
Trent. Oh, sorry. Okay, take your time getting there. SC-185.
What was the question again?
No problem.
Sorry.
Yeah. What is your 10-7 time, your end time?
My 10-7 time is 3 o'clock.
Okay. And let's look at the GPS.
It shows 147.
Any idea why?
I have no clue.
Okay. The spreadsheet, and I know that I'm referring to, let me get my SC number. I believe it's 529. Yeah, it is 529. Shows 30, quote, other minutes with a note that says 15088 Abbott's Pond Road, mother's residence. Let's look at the GPS. So I need you to go to the GPS report. Does it show 15?
Excuse me, which one would that be?
Good question. March 9th.
Okay, March 9th.
So,
okay.
Beginning with SC-186. Look at that report and tell me, does it show 15088 Abbott's Pond Road anywhere on the GPS report?
No, it doesn't.
Does it show Abbott's Pond Road at all?
As a matter of fact, it does.
But
several
not,
times.
But not that address.
But not 15088.
Okay. Let's go to March 19th. SC-529, there is a note that says 13 School Lane, Georgetown Middle School. From 812 to 932. So let's look at the GPS at SC-200. Read the, I think it's the fourth line down. 811 is what I'm looking for.
Okay. It says on March 19, 2012 at 8:11 a.m., vehicle is on 13 School Lane, Georgetown, Delaware, 19947, Sussex, 27 miles an hour.
Okay, what does the next line say?
It says the vehicle is at 8:12 on the same day, vehicle is off, has no address because it's blank. The town is Georgetown, Delaware 19947, Sussex County, and I'm then going 31 miles an hour.
So car is off, going 31 miles an hour. What does the next line say?
Then the next line is March 19, 2012, 9:32. The vehicle is now on, no address, town of Georgetown, Sussex County, 0 miles an hour.
Okay, and at 9:35, are there any miles per hour?
Yes, at 9:35, no location, but I'm going 5 miles an hour.
And then at 9:37?
And at 9:37, no location, 0 miles an hour.
So let me get this straight. The car turned back on at 9:32 with no address, was stationary at 9:33 with no address, moving at 9:35, and then not moving at 9:37.
That's what the GPS said, yes.
Okay. Does one of your stepchildren attend Georgetown Middle School?
Yes, my oldest.
Okay. Do you know what the address of Georgetown Middle School is?
Not at the top of my head without looking at it, but it's none of these addresses, which is listed. I think it's 311 or 3217, something like that. School.
It's 301.
Or 301.
Have you ever gone to see your stepson at school?
No.
Do you have any idea what 13 School Lane is?
No, I don't.
Let's flip to SC202. This page has the same address down the entire page. What is that address?
4 West Thrush Drive. Sorry.
That's okay. Please look at the miles per hour. What does it say?
From the top.
And you don't have to read them all, but just kind of give me an idea.
From the top to almost half of the page, it stops at. And that entry says 3/19/2012, 11:37 a.m., same address, 5 miles an hour.
Okay, and so except for 11:37, are there miles per hour anywhere on this page?
No.
So according to this page, you were stationary from 11:04 until 11:37, moved at 5 miles an hour, and then went back to stationary by 11:39, all without changing addresses?
That's correct.
Let's go to March 20th. SC209. What was your start time for the day according to your daily log?
7 a.m.
Okay. Let's go to the GPS, which is SC211. When does it say the car was turned on?
8:42.
Start at 7, car turning on at 8:42. Let's look back at your daily log.
Daily log, first entry would be Cedric D. Smith, family court document. Location served, Jimmy's Grill, parking lot, Bridgeville, 2:01 in the afternoon.
Could the fact that it says 2:01 relating to your earlier testimony about that could be more than one attempt. Is that correct?
That was actually the time I finally got a hold of Mr. Smith, which means that I went prior that morning and made contact. He then contacted me by cell phone and advised me that he was working, but that he should be in the Bridgeville area at about 2 o'clock or so.
Let's look at the second entry. What does it say?
Says it's an A1, which is a Rue 9 summons. Jonathan Tart, attempt made, card left Bridgeville at 7:45.
So, if you left a card, you were mobile, correct?
Correct.
Okay. But the GPS is saying that you hadn't turned your car on yet. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Any possible explanation for that?
With all due respect, ma'am, I'm not a certified GPS expert, so I can't explain.
Let's look at the end of the your 10-7 time. What time does your daily log say you stopped working for the day?
Daily log said my last posting was at 7:38.
So your end time, your 10-7 was?
10-7 was ending time.
Was 8 p.m., correct?
Looking yes, at the in log. My daily log.
Okay.
Yes.
Look at the end of the GPS report. When does it say your day ended?
Says my day ended 10:25 p.m.
Okay, so you say you were done. Your daily log says you were done at 8, and the GPS says you were done at 10:25.
That's correct.
Look at the addresses. Does anything look familiar?
On which date?
Pardon me? The address is from 8 o'clock on.
I said it does, ma'am.
Okay. Let's go to March 21st. SC-226. What time? What's your 10-8? What's your start time?
7 a.m.
Okay. March 21st. And by looking at this, what was your first? Read your first line, please.
My first entry is A3, once again, Mr. Jonathan Tarp. It was at Bridgeville 705.
And there's an X next to his name. What does that mean?
That X indicates that the person was served, that particular individual was served.
Personally served.
Personally served.
So you personally served Jonathan Tarp at 705.
That is correct.
Let's look at the GPS report. When does it say your car turned on?
It indicates that my vehicle started at 9:50 a.m.
Is that possible?
Not really, not when I'm in Bridgeville serving somebody physically.
Let's go to March 22nd. What's your start time? I'm at SC-236.
Okay, I'm here. It's 7 a.m.
Okay. And read the first line.
It says, Nelson Smith, Allendale, 729.
He was personally served?
Yes, personally served.
Let's look at the GPS.
GPS states 901.
So, according to the GPS, you started your car at 9:01, yet your daily log says that you personally served somebody at 7:29.
That's correct.
Okay. The end time on March 22nd, according to your daily log and the GPS, we're going to compare them.
Daily log says 6 p.m., and the GPS puts me 10-7 vehicle off at 7:28.
Okay, let's look at the time from 6 until 7:28. Do any of the addresses look familiar? Is there any reason?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. March 23rd, SC-250. Daily log, what time did you start your day?
Started my day at 8 a.m. in the morning.
And read the first line.
Says it's an A5, which is a criminal subpoena. Should Handy Santiago versus Watches, and it's in Bridgeville. 806, and I personally served that individual.
You know where we're going. Let's look at the GPS.
GPS indicate that my vehicle started or is on at 948.
So you personally served somebody at 806 in Bridgeville, but the GPS is saying you started your vehicle at 948?
That is correct.
Let's look at March 26th. I'm at SC 263. Okay. Your start time?
Start time was 8 a.m.
And let's look at your activity that morning. The first line.
It's a family court document. Laura Hudson. Person serve, I have their number there. Location serve, I left the message, Bridgeville, 830.
Okay, what's the next entry?
Next entry would be family court document, Jeremiah Williams, Sr. I served his mother, Kathleen G. Grandinson, at Bridgeville, 848.
And the one more line. And
it's a family court document. Dolly Preston. I served the mother, Michelle D. Dolly.
At what time?
And it was approximately 9 o'clock.
So am I correct that you served two documents, one at 8:48 and one at 9 a.m.?
That is correct.
Okay, let's look at the GPS.
Indicates that my vehicle was on at 10:22.
No explanation for that.
I couldn't.
All right. Let's go to March 27th. March 27th is the day of the county council meeting.
Correct.
Do you believe you were directed to attend this meeting?
Yes.
Did you bring your vehicle to the meeting?
No.
But I thought on the first day of testimony, Karen Brewington testified that the GPS showed your vehicle here.
It's not my vehicle here, ma'am.
Okay. Even if you hadn't attended the meeting, would you have had to work overtime that day?
Absolutely. I was scheduled to do family court that evening.
And family court starts at the end of the workday, correct?
Yes, family court closes at 4:30. A lot of times we have to be there after 4:30. A lot of times we have to wait because petitions go, they prolong petition, commissioners reviewing the case, and a lot of times we don't get out of there till 5:30 or so, depends on the workload.
And then go serve the documents after that?
No. Then I go to the office where then I clock the documents stating that we received them, make phone calls, and then I attempt to make contact with those documents.
All right. Let's go to March 29th. Did you call in sick that day?
Yes, I did.
Who did you speak to?
At approximately 7 a.m., I spoke to the office manager, Lisa Parker. I explained to her that I wasn't feeling well, and it's really unusual for me because normally you can ask the girls in the office, I've come sick to work, but there was a lot of stuff going around, and I was instructed that I was not to come to work if I wasn't feeling good. So I called out sick. She informed me that my leave form would be in my box in the morning if I return that following day.
Is it customary for her to complete the leave forms?
Yes, normally, since I've started there, since day one, she's been the one responsible if any of the staff, you know, working for the sheriff's office, she normally is responsible for taking care of printing out the leave forms, having us sign it, and so on and so on.
When you returned to work on the 30th, had a leave slip been prepared?
Yeah, it was Friday. The leave form was in my box. I reviewed it, signed it, and went to hand it to her, and she advised me that I needed to put it on lieutenants, which is chief deputies, line weavers, box, for him to sign it, and then she would take care of it from there. Where did it went? I don't know.
Did you note your time off on your weekly timesheet?
Yes, I do normally.
All right, let's look at April 2nd. That is SC 311. What was your start time?
Start time was 8 a.m.
Okay. And we've actually already looked at this page. This is the one where you had the 339 as your first entry.
Right.
Okay, so the one below that, please read that.
After the first entry, yep, the next
after
one.
After Candy Smith, so the next
it's
one.
It's going to be A1, subpoena, criminal subpoena. It's Taylor Ruthane. It's my third attempt. Once again, the car was left Bridgeville at 8:55.
Okay. And the line below that?
It's going to be an A1. It's going to be Catherine Dilks' third attempt. Car was also left Bridgeville, 9:15.
So if you left a card, you were in Bridgeville, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Let's look at the GPS. When does it say your car was turned on?
Indicates my vehicle was on at 9:35 a.m.
No explanation.
Well, due respect, like I said prior to my testimony, I'm not a certified GPS expert. I can't explain that.
Okay. Let's go to April 4th. What was your start time?
My start time was 8 a.m.
Okay. And I'm interested in the second, how your day started and what your second entry is.
My day started in the admin's office, picking up whatever paperwork was there from the courtroom prior day. Press complex at 8:30. Then below, it says vehicle maintenance equipment at 10 o'clock in Georgetown, Delaware.
I've just handed you the vehicle maintenance log for your vehicle. It's SC-52. Does it show on the vehicle maintenance log that there was any service on April 4th?
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Let's look at the GPS. So now I'm at SC 331. So your work log, you testified, says you are having vehicle maintenance around 10 o'clock.
Correct.
What does the GPS say? At around 10 o'clock.
The closest to 10 o'clock is 10, 11 a.m. The entry before that, it's 9:54 and the vehicle is off. But 10, 11 a.m., the vehicle is on, no address, but it's in Georgetown.
Okay, and then 10-12, 10-14, we have a couple more addresses.
Right.
And then it says, what does 10-20 say?
10-20 says vehicle is on, closes landmark, Torres's home, 19243, Delaware 246. That is not my address, ma'am.
You said that is not your address?
No, it's not. My address is 19301 Savannah Road.
So the report, the GPS report, is saying closest landmark, Torres home, sometime around 10 o'clock. Your daily work log says you were having vehicle maintenance.
Correct.
But there's no vehicle maintenance recorded on the county's log.
Not that I see here, ma'am.
Do you remember what work was done on April 4th?
I believe it's been so long. Mm-hmm. I believe that the vehicle was taken, either changed the battery, or was the time where I then made contact with Mr. Elliott and explained to him that I now believe that the alternator is what's causing the whining, grinding noise.
Okay, that's a good point for us to actually talk about that. Let's talk about the vehicle. Did you testify that you had a problem with the battery dying in your vehicle?
Yes, okay. Frequently.
Okay. And that you leave your car idling at your house as a result of that?
That's correct.
Did you take your car to Chris Malik?
Yes, I did.
Okay. And what did he tell you?
Well, after several attempts, I made contact with Mr. Chris Malik. And because prior to me making contact with him during the function at the church, I told him, man, I'm having some issues with my vehicle, my county vehicle. The mechanic says the whining noises come from the battery. So he said, that can be. On your ride-bys or on your way to Bridgeville to start of the day, if I'm home, I'll take a look at it and see if I can help you guys out with something.
Did he tell you it was the alternator?
He looked at the car, looked at me kind of crazy because he could hear me coming. He's like, man, there's something really wrong with your car. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm here. That's what I was telling you about. And it's like, he said, pop the hood. So as I'm popping the hood, he looked at the car. He said, I guarantee you, it's the alternator.
Sometime after Chris Malik told you that it was your alternator, did you take your car to the county mechanic, Dave Elliott?
Yes, I did.
And did you report what you had been told?
Before I took it to him, I made contact with Lieutenant Lion Weaver, which is Chief Deputy Lion Weaver. I advised him that I made contact with a friend of mine that he was aware that was going to kind of hear what's wrong with the car. And I advised him that he stated that the alternator was not a stocked alternator, and that's probably why the whining and grinding of the noise of the car and why perhaps the battery light was on.
When you talked to Dave Elliott, and you told him what you had been told, what did he say to you?
He then told me, kind of blew me off, but I told him I talked to a buddy of mine as a mechanic, and he seems to think that the alternator is what's causing the whining noise in the vehicle. So then turned to me, just call me and we'll make an appointment to get the vehicle fixed or looked at.
Did he change the alternator?
I believe he did.
And what makes you believe that the alternator was changed?
As of Mr. Malik's testimony, I told him, how can I prove that they are looking at the vehicles or taking care of the vehicles like they state? He said, in my previous experience, normally I would mark the part. And it's like, how would I do that? So I just mark it in an area where nobody else would see, and you will only know where this, you know, mark is. So I then, in the course of the day, I got home, I marked the part in an area where probably nobody would have known but me, and of course the good Lord up above. And that's how I determined that the alternator was changed.
All right, let's make sure I understand this. You did mark the part?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and you looked at the alternator at some point. We don't know the date. And the mark was gone.
Well, I knew the alternator was changed because when I got the picked up the car from the county garage, the noise was gone. I then popped the hood at the county garage, looked at the alternator, and it was not the same alternator that I had marked.
But just to be clear, there's nothing on the maintenance log that says the alternator was changed.
No, there isn't.
Okay. Let's go to April 13th. I'm at SC-407.
13.
What was your start time according to your daily log?
8 a.m.
And let's look at the work that was done that morning, starting with, I'm assuming it's Trooper Grimes?
Yes. I didn't personally serve him because a lot of these guys are either off or a lot of these guys are on the road. It's very seldom where I make contact with those guys. But when I was field trained by Chief Deputy Lineweaver, he advised me that when we have any subpoenas for any trooper or local police agencies, I'm to give it to either the chief of police or the administrator assistants, which at this time, Laura Stevens from 25 Delaware State Police, Bridgeville, she's the secretary, and normally it's handed to her.
So the first three entries, all timed 8:45, are you served Laura Stevens?
Correct.
Okay. And the next entry?
And that entry would be Todd Howard, criminal subpoena, and it's in Bridgeville. I personally served them, as indicated, and it's 918. The entry below, it's the same address, same name, 918.
So your daily work log says that you served documents at 845 and 918 in Bridgeville.
Correct.
Let's look at the GPS.
According to the GPS, on the 13th, my vehicle was on at 10:38.
Okay. Well, let's, in that same GPS report, let's go to SC-414. Look at the time, 4:36. Have you found it?
4:36.
Okay. It shows the vehicle is on and going 31 miles an hour, correct?
Correct.
No address?
Correct.
Okay. And then 4:38.
Vehicle's on, no address, but now I'm going 0 miles an hour.
Which would suggest you stopped.
Stationary.
You were stationary,
or
correct?
Idle.
Okay. And that's true for 440, 442, and 444, and 446.
Correct.
What does 448 say?
448, same date, says the vehicle is on, no address, the town is Georgetown, and I'm going 7 miles an hour.
Okay. And what does 450 say?
Same date, 450, vehicle on, Georgetown, Sussex County, 0 miles an hour.
So you were stationary, then going 7 miles an hour, and then stationary?
Correct.
In a two-minute increment?
That's correct.
Okay. Let's go to April 19th. We are at SC-453. What was your start time?
8 a.m.
Okay. And your first entry?
Miscellaneous office / administration or admin. Paperwork, West Complex Building, Georgetown, Delaware, Georgetown, 8:30.
Okay. And your GPS, let's look at the GPS, SC-457.
It indicates that my vehicle was on at 9:46.
And the address?
The address is closest landmark towards his home, once again, 19239. It's not my address.
Okay. I want you to flip to SC-462.
Oops.
I've just handed you an incident report dated April 19th. What's the address on the incident report?
It says location of incident, 17 Sunset Lane, Evergreen Development, Milford, Delaware, 19963.
Without reading everything here, what was the incident that provoked this?
It was on a Thursday, the 19th, 2012, at approximately 1,500 hours.
And I'm giving you this look because 1,500 hours is what time?
I'm sorry, 3 o'clock. Huh? I'm stuck in military, I'm sorry.
That's okay. What happened?
Well, as I advise to the panel and people in public, I'm considered a poop magnet. And if it's going to happen, it's going to happen around me. On that day, I was attempting to serve some documents to the Williams residence, which is an A1 criminal summons or subpoena. And as I knocked on the door come unopened, which then, you know, created a little, you know, concern because it looked like the house was ransacked. Now, this isn't a development. The vehicles are not in the drive. My vehicle was the only vehicle in the driveway. And my law enforcement instincts kicked in. Why is the door unlocked? The house looked like it was ransacked. I do know there has been several home invasions in the state of Delaware, especially Sussex County. And I was praying to God that I wasn't interfering with a burglary. Okay. As you guys can read in the report, I attempted to make contact with Chief Deputy. He must have been out of reach from his cell phone. But I did make contact with Sheriff Jeff Christopher, where I advised him what I had. He advised me why I was there. I explained to him, and then he informed me, well, make contact with neighbors, see what you can find. And he instructed me to make sure that nobody's hurt at the residence. And I clear the house. Exit out the house, everything was good. It looked like it was ransacked, but later I learned that Mr. Williams lives with two twins, little kids, which explains to why the house appeared to be ransacked. I talked to the neighbor next door, made contact with several neighbors, to try to gather why the house was open, or she can enlighten me with something about her neighbors. She started informing me, you know, sometimes we have nosy neighbors, and she happened to be one of those that she didn't miss a beat. She informed me that the state police was out there several times. His wife, the gentleman's wife, was arrested for stealing firearms, so on, so on. You know, I explained to her that the house was open. I cleared the house. Everything seemed to be in place, such as like the electronics and such and such. And she said, well, Deputy, I do know that Mr. Williams works at Rent-A-Center, which is where later on I made contact with him and informed him of my findings.
So did you talk to more than one neighbor or just one neighbor?
Oh, several neighbors. Because, okay. Of course, you've seen a sheriff's deputy's vehicle in somebody's property, and, you know, neighbors come out of the woodworks.
Did you leave your car stationary?
Yes, I did. I left it at that 17 Lane,
Sunset Lane. Let's look at SC 462. Halfway down the page at 310.
310, it says vehicle is on 17 Sunset Lane.
Okay. What is the next, and going 11 miles an hour?
Right, going 11 miles an hour.
What does the next entry say?
The next entry says 313, same date, but it has a different address of 15 Sunset Lane, but I'm going 0 miles an hour.
Which would suggest you're stationary, correct?
Right.
Okay. And let's go down to 319.
319, same date, different time, 21 Sunset Lane. I'm now going 2 miles an hour.
Okay, and then 323.
323, I'm back at 17 Sunset Lane, 2 miles an hour.
And 325.
And 325, 60 Sunset Lane, 0 miles an hour.
With these address changes, it would suggest that your vehicle was moving.
I would suppose so.
But you're testifying that your vehicle was stationary.
I know it was. Because the development, it's like any other development, the houses are pretty close together, and I don't mind walking. So I walked to make my inquiries to the neighbors.
Okay. Let's go to April 20th, SC 467. What's your, are you there?
April 20th, 467.
April 20th, yes.
Yes.
What's your start time?
Start time is 8 a.m.
And your first work, your first entry on your log?
It's a family court document, and I do remember this one because the person I serve happened to be a Bridgeville police officer, and I served them at his residence, which is in Bridgeville, at 8:30 in the morning, that morning.
Personally served him 8:30 in the morning in Bridgeville?
That is correct.
Police officer?
Yes.
What does the GPS say at SC 468?
It says the first entry indicates that the vehicle is on, closest landmark towards home, not my address, 937.
Okay. All right. On the first day of testimony, the county had a spreadsheet that I've referred to, SC 529 to 531, that showed idle time upon returning home, idle time spent at Wilson Hill Road, idle time spent at Fruitland Avenue, and other minutes. Were you asked about idle time upon returning home?
I wasn't asked directly. Okay. The question was directed towards Chief Deputy Lyon Weaver.
But you were never asked directly about idle time upon returning home?
That is correct.
Were you asked about Wilson Hill Road?
No, I wasn't.
Were you asked about Fruitland Avenue?
No, I wasn't.
Under the heading other time, other time was recorded, and there were comments such as 15088 Abbott's Pond Road, Mother's Residence, and Georgetown Middle School. Were you ever asked about 15088 Abbott's Pond Road?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. Were you asked about Georgetown Middle School?
No, I wasn't.
Were you shown any GPS reports?
No, I wasn't until the first day of the hearing. Now,
were you asked about specific days?
No, I was not.
Were you asked why your car is turned on in the morning and sits idle at your residence?
Not directly.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the county's allegations against you. Did you abuse any county equipment?
No, I didn't.
Did you falsify your timesheets?
Absolutely not.
Did you misappropriate overtime?
No, I didn't.
Why did you ask for a public hearing?
I believe my mom brought me up in a church background. And I have nothing to hide. My mom always taught me, if you didn't do anything wrong, you stick to your guns and you fight for what you believe in. And I did just that. If I was an individual hiding something, folks, would you think I'd be here today? I've heard in the radio, as far as I'm cheating on my wife. Now, would you think I would expose my character, my integrity, if I was hiding something? Absolutely not. And that's for the same reason that I asked for this personal public hearing. So the public knows what I'm being put through. And if I'm being put through this, how many county vehicles are being put through the same thing I'm being put through?
Amen. I have no further questions.
Mr. Willoughby, would you like to cross?
Yes.
I'm seeing it's approximately 10:30. Would this be a good time to take a break for maybe 10 minutes?
Yes, it would.
Okay, why don't we take a 10-minute break? We need to have a motion to go in recess.
We have a motion to recess for 10 minutes from the hearing.
I make a motion that we recess the hearing for 10 minutes.
I second.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And he's excused for the
10 minutes.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Thank you.